Let's read over in the book of Solomon tonight, and then maybe we'll have a little discussion here. We've tried to have a night or two to ask a few questions. The people have been so hungry in the last few weeks until the Lord has fed us. And here in Ecclesiastes, we'll read first in the 12th chapter. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened. And the door shall be shut in the street when the sound of the grinding is low. And he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way. And the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden. And desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home. And the mourner go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. He gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads and nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further, by these, my son, be admonished of making many books there is no end, and much study as awareness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. In the second chapter it says, that is Songs of Solomon's here, it says, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake my love till he please. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grapes give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take us, the foxes, the little foxes, that spoil the vines. For our vines have tender grapes. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies until the day break, and the shadows flee away. Turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or young hart upon the mountains of Bethah. You know, the Songs of Solomon and Ecclesiastes, they're such beautiful beautiful things. Saying, remember thy creed in the days of thy youth. Saying here that it is the little foxes that spoil the vines. You know, a lot of times our problem is the little foxes. It's like a home I stayed in. I made mention of this to the people. The people in that home was having problems. A good income, everything was just fine, but they were having problems. And they said, Brother Pike, pray. I said, all right, I'll pray. They said, we want to know what the problem is. So I prayed, and I said, God, what's the problem with these people? You blessed them financially, and I said, and what is the problem? And the Lord gave me a vision by night. And I looked, and around the door, it had little pane windows that come all around. And through these little pane windows, I saw one of them being out at the bottom, little foxes jumping through. And I saw a whole bunch of little tiny foxes, one right behind another, jumping through that broken pane. And that's what the problem was. See, they were religious people. They were financially blessed. But the little foxes were spoiling their vines. The Bible said our vines have tender grapes. And we have to bring forth the fruits of the Spirit so that God can bless us. He said, I planted a vineyard. I done all I could to my vineyard. He said, what more could I do to my vineyard than I've already done? He said, but I looked and my vineyard brought forth sour grapes. And he said, in the parents, they've eaten sour grapes and it's got my children's teeth on edges. That's what's wrong with the world today. A lot of people say, well, I just don't understand what's wrong with this generation. You want me to tell you what's wrong with this generation? Their parents have eaten sour grapes and their children's teeth are on edges. So then, all we have to do is remember that our vine has tender grapes. And that unless we are very careful, the little foxes will come by and spoil our vine. We'll find out that we're not bringing forth any fruit unto perfection. You know, we have to bring forth fruits of the Spirit or God will cut our tree down. Isn't that right? God will cut the tree down if it does not bear good fruit. You've got to bear good fruit if you want to keep on being God's tree. He said, why cumbereth it the earth? If it isn't going to produce something good, cut it down. Cut it down. The preacher said, nay, Lord, but let me work around it a little bit longer. Who knows but what it would bring forth some fruit. He said, go ahead and work a little bit longer. But if I come next year and I find out that this tree is not bearing fruit, I will have you cut it down. A lot of people have been cut down. How do you know that? There's people that one time that was at Bethlehem that was bearing fruit. Isn't that right? But God cut them down because they quit bearing fruit. And they went out with the world and they've never returned anymore. Isn't that right? All because they didn't bear the fruits of the Spirit. You've got to bear the fruits of the Spirit. You can't fuss, find fault, backbite, gossip, do all of these things against God and against God's people. You got to bear fruits of the Spirit or God will cut you down. You believe that? So then God tells us that unless we bear fruits of the Spirit, He will cut us down. If we get to where we cannot be godly and love our brother, sister, love our fellow man and share one with another, bear one another's burdens and submit ourselves one to another, and look on the things of another and desire to help another, then God knows that we're not bearing the fruits of the Spirit. Unless we can do that, then God will cut us down. For He knows we're not bearing the fruits of the Spirit. Until we get to that place to where we can do that, then we are not pleasing God. God will cut us down, but we can bear much fruit. How would you like to bear much fruit tonight? Now, someone would say, well, Brother Pike, you talk about the fruits of the Spirit, joy, peace, all these things. Well, I don't know about that long suffering and all of that, but I'll tell you what you do like. When the Bible said, and this shall be your fruit, that whatever you will ask, I'll do it for you. Now, that's part of the fruit you like, don't you? But did you know it takes bearing the other part of the fruit of long suffering and meekness and gentleness and patience and all of these things to be able to reap that that you desire in asking of God. It's just like the resurrection. We want to know God and the power of his resurrection, but we don't like to know him in the fellowship of his suffering. Paul said, I seek to know him in the fellowship of his suffering, that I can be made conformable to his death. Then I shall know him in the power of his resurrection. But we don't like to do that. The Bible said, if you suffer with him, you shall also reign with him. We don't want to make any sacrifice in financing a project for God, in helping feed the little orphans, or reaching somebody with the gospel, or making something to where the people of the community can find the light. We don't want to fast any. We don't want to pray any, of taking our time, you know, to pray, because we've got too many things to do. We don't want to fast any because it don't make us feel good. When we fast a little bit, we don't feel too good, you know. We're not all perked up in the flesh and want to do something in flesh. So then that part of it we don't like. But now if you're talking about the resurrection, well, that part that glitters and that part that brings on the finance and that part that brings on the goodies and the cars and the houses and the health and the happiness and the joy, somebody said, just bring her on. That's the part I believe in. But brother, you can't have one part without having the other part. Isn't that right? When you go to get a rose, you're going to find a thorn or two around, because they grow on thorn bushes. Isn't that right? So then that's what you've got to do. You've got to learn to love the Lord. You've got to learn to take the bitter with the sweet. And you've got to learn that sometimes, in many cases, the bitter is better than the sweet, to the extent that if you get too much sweet, it's not good for you. You know, Jesus, as I said a little earlier, he said, shouldn't the Lord have suffered and entered into his glory? They said, well, we don't understand this thing. You know, he said he would do such and such. And here it is, the such and such day, and they say that he's risen from the dead. And Jesus said, oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have said. Should not the Lord have suffered and entered into his glory? There is no way to enter into the glory of God without suffering. There is no way to get to the things of God just by prosperity and blessings and joy and all these kind of things. Why do you want to do that anyway? We say, Lord, use me. And we sang the song to be like Jesus. But we don't want to really be like Jesus now, do we? Somebody said, well, I want to be like Jesus, but I'd rather do it on the other side of Calvary. Isn't that right? Lord, make me like Jesus. Now, when it comes to the fasting and praying, Lord, if you will, let's wait on that a little bit. Let's just kind of take that and lay that aside. And Lord, if it's a matter of sacrificing and Lord, a matter of being smitten, and Lord, a matter of being bruised, a hurt, God, how about putting that aside? But now, Lord, there's a lot of things about Jesus. I'd sure love to be like Jesus. I'd like to sit on the throne, Lord. I'd love to rule with a rod of iron and have my way about everything, Lord. And I like that fine robe that they're going to put on him and that crown on his head. Lord, make me to be like Jesus. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Folks, do we really want to be like Jesus? Do we really want to be like Jesus? I tell you what, you can have those things. Like Jesus said to the disciples one time, they said, Lord, said, what are we going to get out of this thing? He said, well, you've been with me in the regeneration. You've left your home. You've left houses. You've left land. You've left all of these things. He said, I've got some thrones for you too. You're going through the same thing I'm going through. He said, can you be baptized with the same baptism? Oh, yes. He said, you will. I got some thrones for you. I got some thrones for you. You stay with me. I've got some thrones for you. And then, as I said the other night, he said, there's no man that ever left house or home or wife or children for my sake. That is, having forsaken them. There is no one that's forsaken their family, all the things of this world. Nobody's ever done that. Nobody's ever done that for my sake. But what they'll receive in this life, in this world, 100-fold. And then in the world to come, they'll receive everlasting life. So then, if we want everlasting life, we can have it. If we want 100-fold in this world, we can have it. But we're going to have to do something. Did you know that? We're going to have to put forth some effort for God, or we're never going to get anything. I tell you the truth from my heart. These evangelists is running from coast to coast, nothing but prosperity and blessing. Those people are not going to enter into the kingdom of God. Jesus said they have their reward. They've got what they're looking for. Fame and popularity and money and prestige. They've got what they want. But brother, if we'll suffer with Christ, if we'll submit to God, if we'll get in and be a real Christian, if we'll carry the load and win souls and try to do something to help humanity and be willing to swear to our own hurt, God will give us all of those wonderful things. He'll bless us with all heavenly blessings. He'll bless us with prosperity and he'll bless us with health. And we'll find ourselves riding upon the high places of the earth, having the desires of our heart. But who wants to always flourish, always be blessed, always, you know, just have everything you want to eat? You say, well, don't you? I don't. Did you know when you eat steak all the time, you get to where you abhor it? I said, well, I never eat it that much. Well, I have. You get to where it don't taste good. I've got to where I'd say, Betty, can't you find me a piece of fat back or something? Strychnine or something's got some taste to it. You know, because you really get to where you abhor the stuff. What you want to do is ask God to bless you. Say, Lord, you look at me and you give me what you know that I need. And that way God can feed you in the right way. Your appetite can be good and strong. When you sit down to eat a steak, you'll just enjoy it in the biggest kind of way. Why, you can get new cars to where you just abhor the things. I've had God to bless me in such a way that I go down and somebody say, well, you need a new car. And I'd honor them and I'd humor them. And I'd go down there and I'd pass by and I'd say, I don't want that piece of junk. You know, and in my mind, they say, just look what a beauty. I think, my, what a chunk of junk. You know, and I think, I'll be glad when we get away from this junk heap. I got an automobile, you know, and all it's just a bunch of junk just round around my mind. It's going round and round. I thought, Lord, what in the world do they want with it? But how many of you know that you can get in a rut over things like that? You can get in a rut. I believe that a man should have a good automobile because he needs a good automobile and God wants him to have one. And if he needs some kind of vehicle for working, that's good. If he needs a house to live in, that's fine. Everybody does. But when you get in a rut and all you want is just to buy and sell and get gain and go and buy and sell. You know, I say this so often. Some people, they can go to town every day and go through the stores and just, you know, listen to that old junky music all day long. It gets them caught up in the spirit. And they can go back and look at that same junk pile that they've looked at 50 different times. Now, if you don't believe I'm telling you the truth, you just go out and watch. And you stand by some store day after day. And of course, the things look good, you know, after you go in there one or two times. But so, you know, you really understand, you stand there and here comes that same chain of people. They looked at that junk yesterday, they come back, they look at it today, and they tote a bunch of it home, and they pile it over in the corner, and they pile it over in the corner, and they keep on till they're like a bunch of pack rats. And after a while, they don't know what to do with it. And somebody said, well, give it to the neighbor. Somebody said, well, I can't give that away. Well, we'll have a yard sale and sell it. Somebody say, I love Jesus. They can't put all the junk back in there. They'd have to move out. A lot of times, me and Betty, you know, we've gone somewhere in the motorhome, and the kids just want to pack in, and they pack in. By the time they get through, I'm ready to move out. You can't hardly move around the place. Folks, we don't want to be like that. See, that's what God made a store for, so it can keep it up there. They pay rent on the building to keep it up there. There's no need to junk your house up with the mess. Leave it up there, and you want to go get something, go get it. That's your storage up there. But don't bring all that mess home and just clutter up the house with it. Be reasonable. The same way with food. Some people, they'll put a freezer over in the corner, and they'll
They'll kill and shoot and fish and hunt and buy and get, you know, and can. I've known them to can and fill the cellars up and fill the cellars up. And they say, come and look. And I'd go out there and it'd be covered with spider webs and dust and dirt and everything else. And I'd say, my, that looks kind of old. The lid's rusted on it. Yeah, I canned that 3 years ago. I think, my dear God, people starving to death and you got stuff that you had in here 3 years? How do you understand what I'm saying? The Bible said labor that you might have to give. Think what a joy it would have been if they took some of that stuff they'd packed back there in that food and give it to some hungry little baby. Or give it to some mother or turn it into money to feed some little kid that's laying on the street over yonder that don't have any place to live. See, wouldn't it be a lot better instead of giving your children a bunch of junk and just getting one dress and another coat and another coat and another suit and another suit and another pair of shoes? You can't wear them anyway. Wouldn't it be a whole lot better to take that money and know that you've fed some hungry little child? Well, you'll have plenty of shoes to wear. You know, some people go to town and say, well, I got a bargain. So, well, why did you buy them shoes? Well, I didn't need them, but it was just such a bargain. And they'll buy a bargain this week and a bargain next week and a bargain next week. And they've got shoes and clothes. Don't you know that upsets the Lord? Don't you know that upsets God? When you put all that stuff back there, you got to have one car, and you got to have another pair of shoes and another pair of shoes and another dress and another suit. And on and on and on, there's no end to it. And when you get your house all junked up and piled up and you get all the cars you can get out there that you feel like you can afford and you get everything else you can afford, somebody said, well, we just can't afford to give nothing. Say, well, why? Well, I got it in all that junk. And then they buy all the furniture they can get in, you know, into the house. And somebody said, well, we still can't afford to give nothing. Say, well, why? Say, well, we have to put our money in the bank. Say, well, why do you have to do that? Because it might come a bad day. And like I say so often, sure enough, when they get it in the bank, God sends them a bad day. They prepare for a bad day, and God sure sees it to have it. Somebody said, well, I'm just laying up with a doctor. God will sure see that he comes over to your place. So you'll get over to see him if you lay up. God's faithful to see that you get it. You love the Lord? We had a man here. I tried my best to reason with him. He said, well, you know, you got to lay up for the doctor. And he was in the hospital, now the hospital, in the hospital. And just, everything he got went for hospital bills. Folks, don't you see how foolish those things are? The Bible said, the little foxes spoil our vines, and our vines have tender grapes. Why isn't it much better to be able to have one suit and put that suit on and enjoy that suit and have one automobile and get in that automobile and ride and enjoy that automobile than to have two suits or three suits and two or three automobiles and you just have to hump and grump on a crutch everywhere you go just to get in and out? Isn't it better not to have money piled up in the bank and just get by and love the Lord and pay your bills and be an honest, upright person and trust in God and know that you've done something for God and that you're laying up treasures in heaven? Isn't it better to do that and have your health and be healthy and happy and enjoy God than it is to lay up thousands of dollars and just rot and give it to the doctors and everybody else? Isn't it better to do that? The little foxes is what spoils the vines. But see, the preacher, the Bible said, taught them good teachings because he sought the knowledge of God. And he continued to teach the people knowledge. But the problem was the people didn't listen to the preacher. See, the word of God is sure. It's steadfast. It keeps your soul. And it can help you to have blessings. It can help you to have health. It can help you to have prosperity. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, you just don't know how sick I am. You know what? Just because you get a little puny, you get a little pain, or you get a little sickness, that ain't no reason to frown upon God. What's that got to do with it? Somebody said, well, you don't know it. We're on starvation. Like I've said so many times, the boy over the way when we went to eat with him, he said, he was just all upset. It was hard times. I said, what's wrong? No butter for the bread. And I thought, boy, you just don't know nothing down the house. We don't have no bread for the butter. See, that's the way it is. People, they won't never get away from things like that. The Bible said all of these things, speaking of the riches, as they call it, of the world, which is not riches. It's not really riches. But speaking of all of these things, the Bible said the Gentiles seek after these things. But he tells us in the Word, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and seek the righteousness of God. Do you ever look for the righteousness of God? Have you ever looked for the righteousness of God? I wonder tonight how many of us has diligently sought to find the righteousness of God. I wonder how many times in our life that we've actually applied ourselves in diligent search, in diligent seeking to find what really is the righteousness of God. He said, seek ye first, not after you've done everything you want to do. God doesn't want an old worn out shoe. You know, you say, look, brother, wouldn't you like to have this pair of shoes? Nothing wrong with them much. They don't have any shoestrings. There's a hole in the bottom of them and the heels off of one of them and the toes wore out. But I just want to give them to you. I just love you. Now, who wants something like that? See, God don't want you after you're worn out and tore down and can't do nothing and the devil's done drug you through the mud holes of the world and you just ain't no good for nothing. God don't want nothing like that. You say, you don't think God will save anybody like that? Yeah, he's God. He's loving. He's kind. He'll save them. But a lot of good they are to him. See, a lot of good they are to him. Why, he can't do nothing with them. But the Bible says here in the scriptures, remember thy creator in the days of your youth. Why, you can still do something for God. Why, you can still get around for God. Why, you can still drive an automobile. Why, you can still get out and walk and talk and tell somebody something about God. Why, you can still lift your head up and say, glory to God, I believe in what's right. I try to be straight. I might not be the best fellow in the world paying my bills, but at least I'll make an effort. See, remember thy creator while you can do something, and especially in the days of your youth. Why in the days of your youth? Because the Bible said in the days of your youth, the evil days have not yet drawn nigh. And what does that mean to us? Did you know I said this before, and I want to say it again tonight. A lot of people come to God, but they wait until they have sown so many bad seed until when they come to God, though God forgives them and God saves them and God loves them, yet they can't do anything for God. They have sown so many bad seeds when they know better than to do it until everything that they start to do for God, the devil gets in the way because they got to reap. The devil gets in the way because they got to reap. The devil gets in the way because they got to reap. So I think I'll do something for God. So they start a project and here comes the devil. And they got to reap. And they got to reap. And as a consequence of that, they never get anything done for God. They spend the rest of their life reaping. When if they had remembered God in the days of their youth, they wouldn't have had all that sowing and they wouldn't have had all that reaping. They wouldn't have had all that. That's why the writer said, remember thy creator in the days of thy youth, before them evil days, which he called reaping days, come around. He said, because I tell you, when you look back, you're going to say, I don't have any pleasure in that. You know, I thought it was a grand thing to show off, and I thought it was a grand thing to run my mouth and gossip. And I thought it was a grand thing to have my fling out in the world and do what I wanted to do. I thought it was really something, but you know, since I see all of this sorrow, I don't have no pleasure in that. God, I wish I'd have never done that. I wish I'd have never done that. You ever said that before? God, I wish I'd have never done that. I'll tell you, brother, sister, when you see your little ones put in the grave, When you see the heartaches coming and you see the sorrows coming and you see the woes coming and the problems coming and you see all that you've labored for in love gone from you, you're going to look back and you're going to remember the words of this preacher. And you're going to look back and you're going to say, you know what? That preacher told the truth. He knows what he was talking about. That man told the truth about that thing. My God, I wish I'd have listened at him. I was down at a printing room and I was just saying today I was just saying, Lord, you know, I was telling somebody, I said, well, I wish I had such and such. And then I caught myself. I said, I ain't never got nothing by wishing. Wishing ain't worth the time you take to do it. Did you know that? The better thing to do is to do what you know to do, my brother, sister. Do what you're supposed to do. Do what you know to do. Our vines have tender grapes, and the little foxes will spoil our vines. So then what we need to do is listen to the preacher. Listen to the good knowledge that the Bible tells us here that the preacher taught the people. Absorb these things and remember our Creator while we're still young and while we're still zealous and while we're still able to do something. Isn't that right? How have you planned to do that? You know, I'm young. I'm planning to remember God. Somebody says, well, I don't think you're so young. That's because you're thinking wrong. Praise God. See, I've been born again. I've been born again. Somebody said, well, you can get old. Well, God's the Ancient of Days and He's going strong. Bible said His hair is white as wool. Ain't you glad you can feel strong and healthy? You know, I feel strong and healthy and full of zeal and zip, ready to go do something for God. I'm ready to go out to battle for God. Are you ready to go out to battle for God? If you don't have any zip in you tonight for God, you need to get born again. You need to get straightened out. If you're just an old rag, you know, and you just can't hardly get up and you can't get out and you can't do nothing, you need to get some stimulation of revelation. You need to wake up, folks. This is a time to do something for God. And you can call on God and God will give you the strength and God will give you the power and God will give you the understanding to go out there and do something for Jesus. I want to do something for God. I see people just literally sit down and die. I don't want to sit down and die. I don't believe in dying. I'm making all preparations to live. You know, a lot of people, they got to pay the insurance, get ready for the hole in the ground. But I'm making all my preparations to live. Somebody said, well, I'm making my preparation because I know I'm going to die. Well, it's just like I said, if you appropriate the funds, God will see that the day comes around. But I'm making plans to live, my brother. Glory to God, I'm looking in another direction, and I'm making plans to live. Somebody said, but what if you don't make it? Ain't no way to fail. I said, but you could. No way. Why is it that there's no way? Because I've already crossed over the river. I've already passed from death unto life, so there ain't a way in the world it can happen. See, I've already taken care of it. There's one thing about it. It's good times over here where I'm at, folks. This is good times over here. Hallelujah. This is good times over here. It might be rough on your side of the river, but I want you to know it's joy unspeakable and full of glory on this side of the river. And if you've never been over here, you need to come on over to my side. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, what I'm worried about is my work giving out. Over here, I imagine I have to worry about work. Amen. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, everybody's got to work to eat. The children of Israel ate. The Bible said God rained it down out of heaven. And I believe Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I believe He's the same. Well, yeah, I don't know where we'll go that far or not. That always brings back a little thought about the trailer. When we was out in the cold, and the woman come over disputing with us about this thing about raining down manna from heaven. She said, now, Brother Pike, I said, he'll do it if he has to. Oh, she didn't believe nothing like that. And so the next day it started snowing and we made some snow ice cream. He rained it right down out of heaven. I said, glory to God, He kept His word. You love Jesus? I believe He'll do it. I believe he'll do it. And the Bible said they did eat angels' bread. And I believe, folks, if we trust in God, I don't care what happens out there. I don't care if the brook dries up. I don't care if the banker goes broke. I don't care if the millionaires get to where they can't even afford to buy a can of beans. Little Bethlehem and the people of God are going to live on and eat on and enjoy life. You say, now you don't believe that. Yes, I do. I do believe it, and I believe it'll work. I put it to the test. You know, the thing that done God's people good was Moses. Did you know that? You know why? Moses had already spent years out there in that wilderness. He had already put God to the test. He knowed when he got hungry, he knowed what to do. Isn't that right? When all of them people come out there and they say, hey, Moses, the beans and the bread's gone. I said, all right, I know what to do. I done been out here. So what do? Just tell him. Just tell him. And everything worked out just fine for him for 40 long years. You love Jesus. I tell you, folks, it's good times over here where I'm at. You can love God and you can have the very best. You can love Jesus. You can trust in the Lord. The Lord will save you. The Lord will heal you. The Lord will lead you. The Lord will guide you. And the Lord will make you to ride upon them high places of the earth. Feed you with that same heritage that he gave Jacob. And I'll tell you, if you'll check back there, you'll find out he took good care of Jacob. Jacob was an exceedingly rich man. So then I enjoy talking about the things of God. These little talks that we have, little get-togethers here, I enjoy it. I enjoy it. I enjoy hearing the children come up and sing and coming night after night to worship God, knowing that the sweet incense of prayer is bottled up in heaven. The Bible said all of our prayers are a sweet-smelling incense before God. And a lot of times God will look down, you know, and he'll say, Brother John Jameson is having a hard time. You'll reach over and you get one of them bottles of incense and smell that sweet odor of Jesus. And you hear John say, oh, I love you, Jesus. And then the Lord say to Michael or Gabriel's son, say, go down and take care of my son. Don't let him have it so rough down there. He needs a helping hand. Down he'll come. Somebody said, no, Brother Pike, you don't believe that. The Bible says he'll give his angels charge concerning thee, and they will bear thee up in all of thy ways, lest at any time you should dash your foot against the stone. Isn't that right? Watch over you just like a baby. Sometimes we snub and we grumble and we mumble and like Gideon standing over and saying, my God, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And the angels stand over and saying, boy, you got it. You got it. You got it. All he had to do was just wait till Gideon stopped being so melancholy and stop acting like a baby. You know, some of us need to grow up. Have you ever considered that? Some of us need to grow up, folks. Now, I know we got babies and you're supposed to feed babies and nurse babies, but some of us need to grow up. There's some of us, you can say a little something about our junior or our sissy and we'll just about stand on our head. You say, now look, Georgie or junior or sissy, don't you think you need to obey the campground rules? I wonder what prompted him to say that to my young'un. I'll move, bless God. I'll tell him when I see him. You need to grow up, that's what you need to do. Quit being a baby. Actually, you're worse a baby than Junior is. See, say something about the Word of God. Tell somebody they ought to live right. I think he insulted me. And go home and pout and pout and pout. You need to grow up, folks. When you do things like that, you need to grow up. Did you know that? When the preacher stands up there and tells you what God is trying to do to keep you from dying and going to hell, or to keep you from being torn all to pieces or having a wreck or getting killed out yonder somewhere. And he's pleading and praying to God for God to take care of you, and then he comes around and tells you. And then you jump up and act like a little baby saying, well, he hurt my feelings. I didn't like the way he said it. You need to grow up. Somebody say hallelujah. Praise God. Just want to be sure we're still on the right trail here. You know, and when I was a little boy in the scouts, we had a habit that when we'd go through the woods, we'd mark them woods. You know, we'd chop off a limb here and we'd break a twig there. So we knowed how to get back from where we come. Well, that's what we have to do. While going through this wilderness, you have to say, hallelujah. Praise
You know, break off a little limb. Say, glory to God. Chop a little notch. That way you know where you're going. You love the Lord? I tell you, it's a wonderful thing, folks. I know I've talked to you a long time here. But it's a wonderful thing to be a Christian. Just remember one thing. You got to bear the fruits of the Spirit, or the Lord will cut you down. He'll cut you down. He'll keep coming around. And God's got somebody say, well, are you a fruit inspector? Yeah, I guess I am. God's got some fruit inspectors. And they'll keep coming around, and they'll keep looking for some good fruit. And every time they come around, they hear some gossip and fault-finding and some, you know, grumbling and the mumbling. And the Bible says, do all things without grumbling and mumbling. And they see some grumbling and mumbling, and they come around. And every time they look for a little something, you know, like Jesus, when he reached out that fig tree to get something, he didn't find nothing. The Lord got upset, said, curse the thing. You know, let it die, let it get away, let it be taken out of my sight. I don't want to see it no more. No more, and it begin to wither up. That's what the Lord says. Preacher, curse the thing. Cut it down, get rid of it. Why cumbereth it the ground? It ain't doing nothing for me. You know, folks, I want you to think on this as we close tonight. We get so beside ourselves, and we get such wrong thinking, and we get programmed wrong, going to college and going to school and being with the people of the world and not understanding God and God's ways. We get programmed wrong. And we get it in our mind that we're somebody down here in the world that's supposed to be some great celebrity, some great something that everybody's supposed to rave over. Are you listening? And we get it in our mind that what we're supposed to do is just make money and barrels of money and money and more money and do more things and more things to make more money, to do more things to make more money, to do more things. And like I said, get in a rut like a fox chasing his tail around and around and around till we drop in a hole and won't listen to nobody. You say, hey, fellow, what are you doing? Don't talk to me. I got 3 years of college. Well, what's that got to do with it? See, you can have 3 years of college and not have any good sense. What you need is just 1 year of good sense. And it'll outweigh all 3 years of your college. And folks, this is good sense right here because this is God sense. But they just get programmed wrong, and a lot of people are innocent in it. They really don't know. And they think life is just one big thing, you know, to make money and do whatever they want to do so that they can just do their thing in life and just be one big barrel of money, you know, and goods, and that's what it's all about. But you know, I got a feeling that when John Wayne came down the cross and he felt different about that. And I got a feeling that this, what was her name, Mae West, when she come down the cross and she felt different about that. I'm sure she must have thought altogether different all of her life to what she did when she started to say goodbye in this world. I got a feeling when you get down to the same place that John Wayne and Mae West got to, that you're going to think different too. You might have a barrel of money or whatever, but I got a feeling you're going to think different. I don't know that it's true, but they tell me that Bing Crosby, just before he passed away, was playing golf and walked over to the bar room to get him a drink. Decided he needed him a good drink to stimulate him. And they said as he did, he died. He dropped dead. You know, you can gain the whole world and lose your soul, but there's not much profit in it. Not any. Because there's nothing that you can give in exchange for your soul. So then, folks, when you get programmed wrong, in bad shape, God, and I'm going to close with this, God did not put you in the world just to live, to eat, drink, and be merry, and buy and sell and get gain and do what you want to do. God made you as a human being, made a world and put you in it, and the world belongs to God and you belong to God, and God had a plan and God had a purpose. And God put you down here to glorify Him and to love Him and to honor Him, and if you do, He will give you all the world and all the blessings and all the jewels and all the diamonds and all the treasures. And if you don't, God will put you in hell. What man tonight that is a contractor here or a businessman or anyone that's over people that would have a man working for him paying him day after day and week after week and month after month a great big salary and giving him everything that he needed, what man is there among us tonight that would take an individual like that and keep on paying him, knowing that he wasn't going to do anything but what he wanted to? He wasn't going to listen to the boss or the contractor or whoever was over him. He isn't going to pay any attention to that. He isn't going to work. If he don't want to work, he isn't going to work. He'll come to work when he takes a notion, and if he don't take a notion, he won't come to work. How many people are, as the world uses the term, ignorant enough to keep somebody on the payroll like that? And folks, let me tell you, God ain't going to keep you on his payroll. God's going to cut your tree down. You watch what I'm telling you. He'll get around to it. After a while, he'll send the dressers of the vineyard, and he'll cut your tree down. And then you'll know that what I told you is the truth. So then the better thing to do is apply yourself. Realize you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Apply yourself, or go ahead as Moses said, or as the writer said concerning Moses, enjoy sin for a season. Go ahead. Because it's just a season. It won't be long. And it'll all be over with you. All right, I want you to stand together with me. The little foxes spoil the vines. And our vines have tender grapes. You know what the preacher said? The Bible said he taught them good knowledge. And you know what he said? He said the conclusion of the whole matter is one thing. And what is that? To fear God and keep his commandments. That is the essence of the whole thing. Now I ask you this question, folks. I've told you the truth tonight. Do you fear God? Do you fear God? He said, fear God and keep his commandments because you're going to be brought into judgment for every deed that you do in your body. Everything that you've done, all of your works, and by your words you're going to be justified, and by your words you're going to be condemned. All the things said in secret is going to be brought out in the open one day. Do you fear God? Do you really fear God? So, well, how can I know that I fear God? He said, keep his commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Somebody says, well, I love God, but there's no buts about it. If you love God, you will keep his commandments. If you don't keep his commandments, you don't love God. If the love of the things of the world's in your heart, then that's what you are. If the love of God's in your heart, that's what you are. If you have a desire to do something for God and to be with God's people and to see souls won to God, and you have a desire to travail before God in sacrifice for Christ's sake and to use your ability and talents and powers of ingenuity and understanding for the furtherance of the kingdom of God, to establish his kingdom in the earth and to see his glories and riches and treasures and the world of splendor to come in, you got the love of God. If you got the desire for homes and houses and lands and to make money to do this and to go there and to be over here and to eat, drink, and be merry, and always got to be out into an eating joint, be in the car, got to fellowship to wife, got to fellowship to family, got to do this, got to buy that, got to see this. You have the love of the world. And the love of the Father is not in you. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Brother, if I was you, I'd convert over. Like the songwriter said, if I was a sinner, I'd tell you what I'd do. I'd quit all my sinning. I'd go to work on God's building too. Paul said we're God's building. Built up as lively stones into a holy priesthood, a habitation for God. I'd quit all of my sinning. I'd go to work on the building. If you're not working on God's building tonight, you need to be working on it, folks. You know, if Russia was going to take over tonight in America, the only wise thing to do would be to get on their side. Did you know that? I say, you're a traitor. No, I'm not a traitor. I say, well, what am I a traitor to? You're a traitor to America. I don't belong to America. I belong to God. I belong to heaven. So, well, you betrayed America. No, America betrayed me. The only sensible thing would be to get on their side. That way you could save your hide. You could save your flesh. You could save what you had. Jesus taught that. He said, you folks that don't want to do right, he said, you go out there and make you some friends of that unrighteous mammon, that they may receive you into everlasting habitation when I reject you, because you're going to need it. And that's the way I feel. I know that God's coming to take over this world. And the kingdoms of this world is going to become his. And you know what I'm doing? I'm getting on his side. Somebody said, get while the getting's good. While the getting's good, I'm getting on his side, because that's the only sensible thing to do. That's the thing to do. Now, I believe in standing for something, you know. If you're an American, it's not right to be a coward. Throw down the sword, as we say, and quit. Give up. You need to fight for the liberties of the just and the righteous and the holy, not with weapons of carnal warfare. For that's not the way. The Bible said the race is not to the swift. The battle is not to the strong. The nation's not going to win. It's got the most airplanes and bums. God is the one that's deciding who's going to win, who's not going to win. The battle belongs to God. If we call on God, we can win. And the wise thing to do is stand up and be a hero if it takes your life when you stand for the right thing. But I'm just speaking in the sense of saving your hide. The only wise thing to do. Now, I'm on God's side tonight, because I know he's coming. He's going to take over this world. And I'm getting on his side while I can, so that when he comes and he takes over, that God will say, yeah, that man down there, when we were having all the trouble out of the enemy, he wasn't with the enemy. He was with us. Let him live. Let him live. Give him a place. That's what I'm planning to do. I'm doing all I can for him. Everything to catch his attention. Everything to get him to have mercy on me. Everything that'll please him. So when he takes over, he'll say, have mercy on that fella right there. I love the Lord, and I want to do something for Jesus. And folks, if you're wise, you'll get on the winning side, and you'll do something for Jesus. Your time is running out. You say, well, yours is too, Brother Pike. No, mine ain't running out. Mine won't ever run out. I left the age of time years ago. I changed over into eternity. There's no running out of mine. I'm not a time creature. You're a time creature. Your time's running out. You go by the clock. I go by faith. Paul said, you seek after years and those kind of things. I'm afraid of you. I don't go by seasons. I go by faith. Tonight you can be eternal. Right here in this present world, you can be eternal. I mentioned a few things to some of them the other night concerning death. What it is, where it come from, how it functions, where it terminates. How frivolous it is to a child of God. It's a nothing to a child of God. Nothing to be feared, nothing to worry about. It's a nothing. But to them that don't know and them that don't understand, you can be afraid because you're under bondage to fear of death, because you know if you die, you don't have any hope. You go down into the deep, dark pits of despair. And there's no release from that war. There's no discharge. There's no returning from the dark, deep pits of Satan. I said these things to you tonight. I felt like just simply talking to you and exhorting you a little bit, because what I'm telling you is the truth, folks. You need to get right with God. You need to get on the winning side. If you want to save yourself, then you can. The Bible said save yourself from this underworld generation. You can. You can. Let's sing a little chorus together. I want you to think it over tonight. I want you to think it over. Say, Lord, what kind of person am I? What kind of thinking have I got in my head? What kind of mind have I got to dwarf myself in my thinking and to narrow myself up in a little world of my own thinking in such a way to be so foolish as to feel like that I can continue without God, or I can go on without God, or I can make it without God, or that I don't need God? And just ask yourself, say, Lord, what kind of person am I to get in such a narrow frame of mind, knowing that He is God of heaven and earth and all things therein, hath made everything, and without Him nothing wasn't made, including me and the breath that I breathe. To fear God and keep His commandments, that's the right thing, folks. Let's sing this little chorus. I love Him. I love Him. Because Jesus first loved me, and He purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Sing it again now, can ya? I love Him. I love Him because He first loved me and He purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Don't you want God to make a fuss over you? Don't you want the angels to make a fuss over you? Don't you want the saints to make a fuss over you? Or had you rather have what the Bible called the dogs and the pigs that wallow in the mire, lap their vomit, to make a fuss over you? You know, I say things in a crude way, and it don't sound very appetizing, but that's the way the Bible gives it. You know, you want to be a great businessman, or you want to be a great celebrity, or you want to be some great person out in the world, and you want to leave God out of it. So you say the things they do, and you act the way they act, and you become what they are. Now listen, it don't sound good at all. And here you are, you think you're saying big, great words when it's nothing but vomit running down your lips, down your cheeks. And you're just a licking it, and they're just a licking it with you. And you think you're such a stately, dignified person, and all you're doing is wallowing in the mire, the old stench of the mire, with the rest of the pigs. And they're just a kicking their heel and a grunting and a saying to you in their way, you know, we're fellas, we all slop together. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Say, Brother Pike, that don't sound too good. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It ain't too good. The thing to do is stay away from it. Read it in the book. Jesus said the sow goes back to her wallowing in the mire. Wash her all you want to. If they got a pig nature, they're going to wallow in the mire. Said the dog will go back to lapping his vomit. He likes that life. But you're not pigs and you're not dogs. You're sons and daughters of God. You've got no business in the pig pen. The prodigal got up out of the pig pen. He realized he wasn't no pig. He was about to fill his belly with the husks that they eat. But he got to thinking about the Father's house, and he thought, well, I'm no pig. What am I doing out here? All the good, wonderful things that my Father's got over yonder, and here I am over here around a pig trough. Folks, come out of the pig pen. The world ain't nothing but a pig pen. You say, while them people don't waller in the mud, you've never been to a good football game. You've never been to a good muddy baseball game. I've seen them slide into first base when the mud would slop would fly. I've seen them do it. You'd be surprised, my brother, sister, if you could look behind the scene and see the filthy, low-down, sloppy mess of sodomites, perverts, and all of them things that you're hollering about being so great out there. You would literally be shocked. You'd say, my God. God said, pig. Boy, pigs is a credit to that. I thought God was really, really, you know, getting, you know, way off saying some bad things here when he said dogs. But my, dogs has gotten more morals than they have. While the name dog is a credit to them people. And yet, you follow after them. What you need to do is be children of God. Love the Lord. I don't get impatient. I'm going to let you go. I failed to do this or I wouldn't be doing it. You haven't been here that long now. Just a few more minutes. You know, I say this so often. Take 5 minutes away from God. He may take 5 years off of your life. You let that old hunger of the belly and that old desire for the flesh get the best of you. You take about 5 minutes of his time and get him upset with you. And he may take 10 years off of your life or something lovely out of your life that could brighten your life. You say, well, I don't believe God's like that, Brother Pike. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, he did for Hezekiah. And did you know that you can say one little thing that'll displease God and he may kill you before you get out the door? Did you know that? Or did you know you can say one good thing that pleases God and he may reward you? Jesus said, woman, for that saying, that done something to me when you said that. For that saying, I'll do whatever you ask me. For that saying. See, be careful what you say, because sometimes it can strike God the wrong way or it can strike God the right way. Well, it's so wonderful to be a Christian. Let's sing the little chorus again. I just stop and say these things in between so that you'll think it over. I try to bring it out like it is. In the world, they got a little saying, tell it like it is. I'm trying to tell it like it is, folks. Brother Bill, I appreciate that. Amen. Brother Bill, he's been out there around some of them things, and he knows it's the truth. It's the truth. But I'm so glad I'm a son of God. You might have been out there around him, but the prodigal got up out of that hog pen. He realized that that wasn't the place for him. He come to his senses. He thought, well, my, I ain't supposed to be out there. Isn't that wonderful to know you're a son of God, going to live forever? Them poor beasts don't know nothing out there. They don't know nothing. And here you are, a son of God, and you want to spend your time in the frivolous, beggarly elements of this world to get in bondage to them and give your mind to the frivolous, beggarly elements of the flesh. You want to give your mind, your thinking, to the little old junky things that's going to go over to the garbage, wear clothing a few times into the garbage it goes, shoes into the garbage it goes, buy a new car today in a few years, it's a junk pile, into the garbage it goes. And you want to give your mind to them things when you can have eternal riches, eternal wealth, eternal life, eternal splendor by just putting your gift or your talent or your desire, your ability, or your ambition to the exchangers. And everybody's got some. God's dealt unto every man something that he can do, something great for God. All right. Like the songwriter said, and then we're going to sing this little chorus. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus just from self and sin to cease. Just from self. Old self can cause a lot of trouble. The devil lives in old self. Old self is a big fella. Why, he's everything. You can't convince him of nothing because old self knows everything. There ain't nobody better than him. Why, he's the best feller or the best person around. He's got all the answers. He knows what ought to be done. Just give old self a chance and he'll tell you all about it. But as the songwriter said, just from self, that is the devil, just from self and sin to cease. Do something for Jesus, folks. Give these few puny years to him and he'll give you life eternal. All right, let's sing again, can we? I love you tonight. I appreciate you tonight. You mean a lot to me tonight. That's why I say these things. While you're standing out there now, I want you to think on this. We're going to sing a little chorus, and I'm going to pray with you. But I want you to think on this. Do I fear God? Am I keeping his commandments? Let's just sing this chorus together. They that wait upon Jesus shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. Walk can never faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, just to wait. Don't you want to do something for Jesus? Don't you want to join us in world evangelism here and do something for God, for people around the world, to help them find the truth and escape death? Don't you? Don't you? Mount up with wings like an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and never faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, just to wait. I want to slip your hands. I want you to slip your hands up with me tonight. I don't slip my hands up with you tonight. And I want to pray with you. And I want you to believe tonight. And the Bible said it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost tonight. I feel the Holy Ghost tonight. Oh, Ramandariandarabushandara Messiah. I feel the loving presence of the Almighty God tonight. I feel the anointing breaking the yoke tonight. If you've never called upon Jesus, I want you to call upon Jesus. I want you to call upon Jesus tonight. I want you to give him your heart tonight. Give him your life tonight. What a big, exciting world it is with Jesus. So many wonderful things to do home and abroad. Not only here, but throughout eternity. Oh, my brother and sister, what a great, wonderful experience it is to call upon the name of Jesus. The Bible said, call upon him while he's near. Don't wait too late. Don't wait too late. Call upon him while he's near. The wise man looketh well to his going. Be wise tonight. Look well to your going. Find his favor. The wise man finds God's favor. And you can do all that you want to do. He'll let you do all that you want to do. Beloved friend, you don't lose nothing in serving God. Everything that you can do for the devil is only a perversion of what God would have let you do otherwise. All that you can do out there, you don't lose nothing by leaving the devil. And you don't gain nothing by going with him. All that he's got to offer you is something perverted of what God's already given you. You got everything with God. You got eternal life. You got happiness. You got peace. You got prosperity. You got protection. You got the promise of life here in the world and in the world to come. You can lay down at night and you can be happy. You can go through the day and you can be happy. Say, oh, hallelujah, Jesus is on my side. Jesus is on my side. Somebody says, well, I can't feel that way, Brother Pike. That don't have anything to do with it. The word said it, that settles it. All he's asking you to do is believe it. He'll give you the feeling. You make a mistake when you go by feeling. The Bible didn't say the just shall live by feeling. I feel it, my brother. But you know why I feel it? Because I believe it. When you start believing it, and you give yourself a chance to believe it, and God sees you mean business, and you say, my God, what a fool I've been. Oh, my God, I'm asking you, Jesus, to help me. We all stumble, stagger. I've done it many times. But the Bible said a good man will fall seven times and get back up. Have you failed seven times yet? You can fall more than that. He was just giving you that many to start on. But the thing is, he said, get back up. Get back up. Peter cursed and denied. Jesus denied that he ever knew him. Jesus knew all of his works had already failed. So he didn't say nothing about his works. He just said, Peter, I prayed for you that your faith fail not. Come on, Peter. Believe again so I can help you. Believe again, son. Get up now. He said, when thou art converted and you get a little strength, remember me, Peter. And them others that's stumbling, go there and be a light to them and help them. You fell down, you know all about it. Now you go tell them that God's merciful, he'll help you back up. Old brother Paul said, I blaspheme, but I did it ignorantly, and God had mercy on me. Paul, you go there now and you'll be a light to them. I hope you were. I hope you were. And like my wife said one time, she said, George, I believe Jesus fell underneath that cross just for one thing. I said, what was that, Betty? She said, to let us know that we can get back up. To let us know that we can get back up. Hallelujah. To let us know that we can get back up. You can get back up tonight. Oh, hallelujah. I feel his presence. I feel him saying, yes, George, that's right. Tell them, because that's right. I love them. They can get back up. Hallelujah. You can get back up tonight, folks. If you stumble and stagger, just get back up. Praise God. Praise God. Many a fighter in the ring's been knocked down and had to lay there for the count. But he got back up and won the fight. You can win the fight tonight. Sometimes the devil hits me and gets me staggering around. You know what I say? That's all right, Lucifer. Glory to God, you might have hit me and staggered me a little bit, but in Jesus' name, I'm going to knock you slap out of this ring right here. I'm going to put you slap out of commission in the name of Jesus. And you know that's the way to do it, folks. That's the way to do it. Take Christ with you. When he knocks you around, you just resist him and he'll run from you. Let him know you mean business. Don't give up. I'm going to pray with you while your hands are lifted and your eyes are closed. I'm going to pray tonight and I'm going to ask God to do something for you. I'm going to ask God to do something for you. If you want to believe tonight, pray with me. Pray with me. Father of heaven, in the name of Jesus, as I pray again for these people, I feel your loving presence. I ask in Jesus' name, my Father, that you'll be merciful to these people. Dear God, heaven is worth it all. And Father, in this world we take a chance for, oh God, who knows whether we'll be alive tomorrow or not. Father, there's wrecks, there's diseases, there's heart attacks, there's problems. And oh God, what will we do with all that we have? Whose will it be unless we trust in you, unless we dedicate it to you, unless it's given to your cause, my Heavenly Father? No, dear God, tonight we believe. I ask you to heal. Heal tonight, Jesus. Save tonight, Jesus. Forgive. Lift the heavy burden. Take away the yoke. Make us strong and healthy. And while we're coming to these services, Father, let us pour in the great, wonderful Spirit of God into our vessels to be strong, God, to where we can go out yonder in the world and rejoice and enjoy life and be full of thy countenance, O God. For as the writer said, thou shalt make me full of thy countenance. And oh God, that it might be you. And then I can have strength and I can have faith and I can have confidence that I'm going to be able to accomplish my purpose, because God is my keeper. God is with me and God will help me. I ask you to do it in Jesus' name tonight. He'll save and forgive. For Christ's sake, in Jesus' name tonight. One more time, let's sing together. This little song, Oh How I Love Jesus. Let's sing it one more time. Do you fear him? If you love him, you'll keep his commandments. I strive to do the things that please me. Think about it now, man, about 33 years old. 30 to 33 years old. Young, healthy, strong. A young man stepped out and said, Father, I don't want George Pike to die. I don't want Brother LaFontaine to die. I don't want Brother Benny to die. I'm just a young man. But Father, I'm willing to give up all the years that I'll ever have here in this world just to please you. I'm willing to take the nails. I'm willing to take the whip. I'm willing to be beaten that George don't have to die. And you know what I want to do? I want to say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I know he hears me tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your lovely name. I appreciate you doing it, Jesus. Hallelujah. I appreciate you for it, Jesus. Oh, I'd have had to go down into the flames of hell, Jesus, if you hadn't have done it for me. I love you, Jesus. I thank you for it with all of my heart and life. I've not forgot you, Jesus. I thank you. Hallelujah. Can you say thank you, Jesus? Praise God. Praise God. I want you to lift your hands again and love him tonight and say, yes, I love you, Jesus. I'll keep your commandments. I love you, Jesus, because you first loved me. And while you're loving Jesus and while you're worshiping Jesus tonight, I want you to make things right in your heart. And I want you to just whisper and say, I love you, Jesus. Forgive my sins. From now on, I'm going to do everything I can to serve you. From now on, I'm going to do everything I can to be more like you. I promise you, Jesus, if you'll take hold of my hand, and I promise you, Jesus, if you'll just hold my hand and help me, I'll do more, Jesus, than I've ever done in my life. I'll make up to you, Jesus. I'll make up to you. I'll make up to you. You know, you mistreat your wife, and after you mistreat your wife, you go back and say, honey, you've been a good wife. I'm sorry, I didn't realize I was such a wretch. I'll make it up to you. Or maybe the wife will go to the husband and she'll say, I've been wretched. And you're such a wonderful husband. Just give me a chance. I'll make it up to you. Mama, daddy, I've not been the right kind of son or daughter, but I'll make it up to you. I'll make it up to you. Wait and see. Oh, how much more important is it to go to Jesus and say, Jesus, I've hurt you. I sinned against God and against heaven like the prodigal. But Father, I'm coming home. I'm coming home and I'll make it up to you. Just give me a chance. I'll make it up to you. Let's just sing a chorus of that. I feel like we ought to sing at least a chorus of that before we dismiss. I'm coming home. Coming home. Never more to roam. Just open wide thine arms of love. Oh Lord, I'm coming home. If things ain't right with you, if you want to step down here for a few minutes, that's all right. It's all right. But if you remember Jesus, then in that day he'll remember you. The Bible said, if you're ashamed of me to confess me before men, I'll be ashamed of you to confess you before my Father which is in heaven. I've wasted me. Knee precious years, but now I'm coming home, and I now repent in bitter tears. Oh Lord, I'm coming home. I'm coming home. I'm coming home. Never, no more to roam. Just open wide thine arms, solve love. Oh Lord, I'm coming home. I'm singing one more time, and while we're singing it, I want you to decree in your heart this one thing. The Bible said, decree a thing in your heart, it'll bring it to pass. Decree in your heart that you're going to be like Jesus. That you're going to serve God. You're going to obey God. You're going to honor God and let God have His way in your heart. I want you to do it tonight for me as we sing this together. I'm coming home. Oh, I'm coming home. Never, no more to roam. So open wide thine arms of love. Oh Lord, I'm coming home. One more time, man. I'm coming home. I'm coming home. Never, no more to roam. Just open wide thine arms of love. Oh Lord, I'm coming back home.